For those of you who may be guests, you say, man, what was that? Don't be alarmed. That was gifts of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Which should happen in Pentecostal churches. Come on, somebody. I get so tired of going to Pentecostal churches and nothing happening. I have the occasion to travel. I haven't traveled a lot this year. Next year, look out. I can tell you already. I haven't traveled a lot this year because my position with the Assemblies of God has afforded me much time spent in other churches. You know, I'm a regional pastor. I believe that God has placed me here to be a difference, make a difference and be a catalyst for not just this house, but for other houses of worship as well. And I really get tired of going into, I'm serious, Pentecostal churches that there's no movement of the Spirit. I'm going to say this, Pastor Joy can tell you, she's seen me preach in Baptist churches where the Spirit of God moved more in non-Pentecostal churches than the moving Pentecostal churches. Come on, I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you the truth. I want to preach a message to you this morning that I've simply entitled, Pick Up Your Mat. Come on, look at your neighbor right quick and say, pick up your mat. Amen? Pick up your mat. John chapter 5, verses 1 to 15, a passage of familiarity to anybody who reads the Bible. I'm going to read 15 verses. Please don't let that be more than you read the rest of the day or tomorrow or next few days. Sometimes we're guilty of that, aren't we? Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. John's doing the story here. He says, now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool. I've been there many times. It's still there. And can I tell you something? The same characteristics are still there today. There's still people laying there. In Aramaic, this pool is called Bethesda. Isn't it interesting? We have hospitals named Bethesda hospitals. And which is surrounded by five covered colonnades, nice porches, nice little gazebos, whatever you want to call them. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, and I'm going to ask him the way that I believe Jesus was going to ask this man, do you want to get well? The invalid replied, verse 7, I have no one to help me into the pool, and when the water is stirred while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up! Pick up your mat and walk. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. This day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Somebody say, oh me. And so the Jewish leaders, the religious folk, start coming out of the woodwork. Then they said to the man who'd been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. Can I just tell you, in Israel, even today, it is against the Sabbath law to do anything that requires movement from one place to another. You can't even use an ink pen on Sunday, on worship, on Sabbath day. It's not Sunday in Israel. It's Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. You can't even use an ink pen because when you do that, you're creating something like your name. In the Sabbath in Israel, the elevators operate on automatic. And they go from floor to floor to floor to floor, up and down for 24 hours and open and close, because God forbid that a man or woman touch a button and make something open. That's how serious these folk are. He says to him, listen, sir, he says, listen, this is the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who'd been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said, see, you're well again. Stop sinning. or something worse. You'll understand this verse a little later on. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. I love this story in the Bible that is situated in the public ministry of Jesus as he makes his way on foot from Judea to Galilee. I love the beautiful Galilee area around the sea, Capernaum, the Golan Heights in the distance, Mount Hermon in the distance, all of these beautiful places. And Jesus is making his way from Judea to Galilee, and he has just radically changed the life. If you look back, when you're reading the Bible, please look back and see what was before and look at what's coming ahead, because you'll keep yourself in the proper context of what God is saying. And so he has just done some amazing thing. He has changed the life radically of a man named Nicodemus, a man who was very religious and sat at the feet of Gamaliel and was trained in the law. He knew it like the back of his hand. But Jesus takes Nicodemus on a journey from religion to relationship. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of religious folk in the world today. There's a lot of people who are married to religion, but they've never had an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's a lot of folks who are doing all the right things and going all the right places and pushing all the right buttons, and they don't know Jesus. We got to be very careful. We got to be very careful that we don't become in a position where we can't see the forest for the trees. And so he's changed the life of Nicodemus radically. And now he's looked into the life of a woman, and he's looked into her social and her emotional life. And she's a woman who goes to the well at the middle of the day because she doesn't want to be caught at the well with anybody. Why? Because she's a Samaritan. She's of a mixed race. She's a person who's looked down upon in that culture. And she doesn't want to have an encounter with anybody. So she finds herself in the heated time of the day, in the middle of the day, around noontime, going to the well where no one else will be there. This woman had some social and some emotional issues because she had exceeded her quota on men and husbands. And she'd found no fulfillment. She went from man to man to man to man. Can I just put a little side note here? If you're looking for your fulfillment in a man or a woman, you'll never find the fulfillment that God wants you to have in the spiritual realm. You never will. Oh, he wants you to love your wife. He wants the wife to love you. But there's certain needs that you have emotionally, spiritually, emotionally, that only God can meet. And so this woman had exceeded her quota on husbands. But there was a man that she had never met who changed her purpose, and her life that day at the well was transformational. She met Jesus, the Christ. He satisfied her thirst. He supercharged her self-esteem, if you will, and he sent her on the way as a flaming evangelist, going about the villages saying, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. He set her on a course of evangelism. That's what you and I ought to be doing, evangelizing. He also healed a royal official's son who was sick unto death, and he did it on the long-distance plan. What are you talking about, Pastor? He just said, your son be made whole. And he wasn't there with the son. But when the father got back to him, guess what? He was well. So listen, have you forgotten that the God that you serve is omnipotent? Have you forgotten that the God that you serve is omnipresent? He's everywhere present. There's nowhere that you can go that he hasn't already been or will go again. God is everywhere. And so that's why you can pray for your loved ones who are on the West Coast or serving in another country in the military. You can pray for them and God hears you and he'll meet them right there where they are. He's done some incredible things. So what you have here in the context of this passage of Scripture, what you have here is Jesus is meeting tremendous spiritual needs. Jesus is meeting tremendous emotional needs and social needs. And Jesus is meeting tremendous physical needs. He's done all three. He's done amazing things right here before us as we listen to the story in its context. Thank God the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Ephesians Ephesians 3:20, it says he's the one who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, anything that can enter our mind, immeasurably more than all you could ask or imagine. He is able to do that. Just when you think it's not possible, with men, the Bible says, some things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Give him praise this morning. All things are possible. To who? To them that believe. And it was wonderful when the Master was walking with people on planet Earth. It was wonderful when he was walking around in shoe leather on the earth, doing the miraculous, healing the sick, raising the dead, setting the bound free, breaking every chain and every yoke of bondage known to man. As a matter of fact, if you get to that place in the Bible where it says Jesus went about healing all manner of sickness and disease, I often wondered, scratched my head. I say, I wonder why in the world didn't it just say he healed all manner of sickness, or he healed all manner of disease, because disease is sickness and sickness is disease. But there's a reason there. And if you do a word study, you'll discover that there are some emotional / social ills and misbehaviors that are wrapped up in disease. See, it's not just a cold or a headache or a stomach cramp. Jesus can do things that are amazing in terms of people's emotional and social life and living. He's still taking people and transforming their lives from darkness to light. Don't you think for one moment today that his power is diminished. He's still alive. Don't you think for one moment that he's forgotten you where you are. Don't you think, you may be saying, well, I'm laying by the pool. It ain't been 38 years, but I just wonder, I wonder, when is God going to do something for me? God is going to show you in the book today that in this Bible story, in this biblical narrative, there was somebody that had something to do with this 38 years of struggling. Somebody had something to do with it. He's going to show us that today. Luke records that he told his followers that he was going away. Oh, it was wonderful when he was on the earth. But Luke says, listen, there came a time when he said, listen, I must go away, because if I don't, then the Comforter cannot come. And so Jesus goes away. In fact, he told his disciples this way. He said, it's expedient that I go, because if I do not go, then the Comforter cannot come. And so now we have the good news that one day in the vicinity of Jerusalem, that he came there and they saw his heels, they saw his feet as he ascended into the heavens. And he told 500 people, listen, tarry ye into Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. But statistics are statistics. And guess what happened? 500 heard it, but only 120 followed the command and got on their faces and waited for the sound of a mighty rushing wind and the fire come down from heaven. Can I tell you something today? God is speaking to hundreds today, and still there's only a few who will get up and go to his house of worship on Sunday. You can go to Walmart right now and Food Line, and I promise you, people have their baskets rolling down the aisles, filling them with all kinds of things that will never satisfy. Sometimes I've done it. I've gone, you know, during the early morning hours of worship, when before preaching time, I've just gotten in my vehicle and ran down to Walmart. Maybe pick up a pack of cough drops or something. But every time I go in there, I'm amazed. They're busy right now. Why? Because Sunday's my day. Sunday's my day. I do my groceries that day. I go shopping that day. I pick up some of the things I've been wanting at Walmart that day. Sunday's my day. Can I tell you something? Sunday is his day, and so is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all day Saturday. They're all his days. Teach us to number our days, Lord. They're his days, and we need to give him those days. We need to give him this time. Listen, it's only an hour or so when we come in to this place and gather collectively to worship God, to be inspired and to have our fire lit a little brighter, you know, to have our torch burning a little hotter, so that we can come together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and strengthen one another. Jesus said to his disciples as he was preparing to leave this earth, it's in John chapter 14. He says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do, look at what I've underscored here, they will do what? Even greater. Somebody say greater. Greater. They'll do even greater works than these. Greater than Jesus did? Man, Jesus did this, you're saying. Jesus did that, you're saying.
Greater works than these. That's what Jesus said. Why? Because I'm going to the Father. And what he was meaning here is because I'm going to the Father and I'm going to sit at his right hand and I'm going to make intercession for the saints. And because I'm there, you will be able to do what you can do because the Spirit of God has been poured out upon this earth. You have living in you the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Did you hear what I said? The same Spirit that lives inside of you is the very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And why are we sitting on that? Why do you have to beg people to lift up their hands and worship? Why do you have to beg people to come to an altar? Why do you have to beg people to sit a little closer? Why? I don't understand it. If Luke Bryan or somebody was in town, you could, man, they'd be camping out for tickets. They're chasing people. In fact, Christians, born again, Spirit-filled Christians, will go to lengths to get their tickets and go see some superstar miles away and stand in line and fight crowds and fight traffic and fight discomfort just so they can get a seat. I'm just being honest with you. Have you ever seen such foolishness over people looking at the eclipse? Why don't you look at the skies and say, Jesus is coming soon. People, listen, buying glasses for sale, $50, so you can look at the eclipse. I got too much to be doing to be looking at the moon turning different colors. Come on, somebody. I got too much to be doing to worry about what the sun's going to do at this time tomorrow. I'm not worried about that. You don't need to worry about it. Just look on Facebook. Somebody will show you a picture of it. Amen. By the time it happens, somebody will show it to you. You don't have to get in line. You can just pull your phone out and say, ah, an eclipse. It didn't even bother my eyes. There it is right there. I saw on Facebook yesterday, somebody had choice motel rooms in Myrtle Beach to look to get the eclipse. I said, I did. I thought, you're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot. But if you look at their checkbook, I bet it's been 10 years since they wrote a check to their church. Jesus said this, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Where your treasure is, that's where you write your checks, that's where your heart is. Come on now, I'm going to meddle it. I done chased a rabbit and I can't catch him. But Jesus said, listen, you will do even greater works. And I will tell you this, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Somebody said, you know what, why, you know, you hear all these great stories. You hear all these great stories about what God does on the foreign field. And I've been there, man. I've been blessed to walk in 23 nations in my life. And I've seen God do incredible things. Pastor Joy can tell you in 1994 when we stood in India, I mean, you could have sang Jingle Bells and read one verse of scripture and the place would come unglued. I'm serious. We went to church. First service we preached in India in 1994 was at 8:30 in the morning. And when we got to the church, there were hundreds of shoes outside the church because they take their shoes off before they go in. Men sat on one side, women sat on the other. And when they opened those thatch roof doors to that little tabernacle, the power of God hit you right in the face. Then I heard somebody say, America, and they started clapping. I said, what's he talking about? He said, it's time for you to preach. I said, man, where's the music? He said, Pastor, hang on. They got here at 5:30 this morning. They've been praying for 3 hours on their face that God would anoint you with the Holy Ghost and fire so you'd have a word to say to them. 3 hours they prayed for the preacher in America to come and give them a word in due season that would change the course of their life forever. That's an alive church. And so it's very easy to have people who've been seeking God that much and that intense to come to an altar. You lay their hand on them and guess what? Pow, they're healed. Why? Because they believe. Why? Because they earnestly seek. Why? Because they take God at his word. They believe this scripture. They believe it. I submit to you this morning that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is living so far beneath her potential. So far beneath her potential in this 21st century. Instead of power, we turn to pills. Instead of spiritual dynamics, we turn to drugs. Instead of activation of our faith, we turn to alcohol. Because we just try to replace God with everything and anything we can get our hands on. We don't believe he's enough. Unbelief, the last time I looked at it, was a sin that was recorded in the scriptures. Doubt is first cousin to it. Are y'all hearing me? Is this too much for you today? And all the while, we have this amazing man from Galilee who begins his public ministry by stepping up to the microphone in the synagogue of the first century. And he sits there and he basically comes back with the prophetic words of Isaiah, the prophet, in 61 verses 1 to 3. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." Jesus goes on to say, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion. Check this out. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness or despair. Listen, that's why Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he did just that. He walked around for 3 years or so, and he did all these things that he said he was going to do in the synagogue that morning. He moved around Galilee and healed the sick and raised the dead and cleansed the leper and did all these things. And then he winds it all up and says, what? "And greater works shall you do." Why? Because I'm getting up out of here and I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And that's why you and I can do it, not in our own name, but in the name of Jesus. We can do it. It's in his name. He's the one putting his name on the line. You don't have to put your name on the line. Come on now. This is the Bible. We got our kids in our classroom singing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. We teach them these things when they're little, and we don't believe it when we're old. Pardon me, I've been to the West Coast. Amen. Listen, I'm just telling you, we're living far, far, far beneath our potential. And that's what we need today to be aware of. He's here for the downhearted. He's here for the oppressed. He does have the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. He wants to give you beauty for the ashes that you've discovered, that all of your happiness and all of your joy and everything else is burned up before you because of great disappointments. He wants to give you beauty for ashes. He wants to take something that's messed up and fix it. Come on. He's the only one. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord." He's the only one that can take the mess in your life and turn it into a message of God's transforming power that should come from your lips every time you get around somebody and say, "Listen, I know a man from Galilee who still heals and still delivers and still transforms. He did it for me and he can do it for you, honey." That's what we ought to be telling people. I've discovered that at the church today at large, we've become passive. Come on. We've become passive rather than active. We've become satisfied rather than hungry. And we need to learn from the biblical narratives of Jesus so that we don't make the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. I preach away occasionally still, even though I don't go out of the country or anything like that this year. I've still been preaching away in some of our Assemblies of God churches. Handling business meetings for them, handling other things. And I've discovered that God's really not doing a great deal in a lot of these churches. It's quiet in there. I preached not too long ago at a church that, you know, it just, like many of them, I've been into many like this. They start filling up from the back to the front. People come in, they sit in the back. Why? Because, well, I might want to leave early. And I won't have to get up in front of anybody else. I sit in the back because, well, I got to go to work today. It doesn't matter. Listen, let me tell you something. If you want to get where something's happening, get as close to the altar as you possibly can. Now, don't be offended if you're sitting in the back this morning. I'm not trying to draw attention to you. I'm talking about the church at large. You sit where you want to sit. But I'm just telling you, if you would take my advice, take my counsel, take my words, if you would shake it up a little bit, start sitting somewhere else than besides where you've been sitting for so long. In fact, some of you, I can tell y'all with blinded eyes who's sitting in front of me right now, because you sit in the same place all the time. You know why? Because you're comfortable. And can I just tell you, in the name of Jesus this morning, God wants to shake up your stuff and he wants to make you a little bit uncomfortable. Amen. He wants to get you a little concerned about what's next. He wants to shake you up a little bit about what might happen or what, you know, what's coming down the tubes. Let God do something unusual. Don't make God so predictable. Stop putting God in a little box that you have control of. Let him do something. I spoke in this church several weeks ago, and they started filling up from the front to from the back to the front. So I just took the speaker stand and met them halfway down the aisle and made the middle of it the front row. And then at the end of service, I just said, "Hey, would you lift your hands all over this building right now?" There were many people there, several people there. And I said, "Would you lift your hands and would you begin to pray as the Spirit of God enabled you?" I said, "Would you begin to pray? Would you begin to pray as the Spirit of God enables you?" And it was quiet in there. So I started to pray it in the Spirit myself. As the Spirit of God just began to pray through me, I started praying. Then all of a sudden, after several minutes, an older person, you know, started chiming in there in the Holy Ghost, praying. I thought, well, thank the Lord, there's one. And the next thing you know, there's another one. Can I ask you something? Where's the fire? Where's the fire? And let me ask you gray-headed people, let me ask you older people that don't have much hair left, that have a little bit of wrinkle to your skin like I do, because I put lotion on my legs and my arms every day because my wife told me to. Let me tell you something. Let me just ask you something. What heritage of Pentecostalism are you passing on to the younger generation in our church? What are you passing along to them that you just come to church and sit here and look like a bunk on a log, or like you've been sucking lemons because you remember when God did this so many years ago? Listen, God wants to do what he did so many years ago today, yesterday, and forever. God has not changed. He said, "I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not." Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What heritage are you passing along? Are you teaching the young people to tarry at the altar and lift your hands and pray in the Spirit and believe and pray and believe and pray until God does something? Or are you just teaching them to just sit there? And if the Lord should strike you, let him strike you. If he don't, then he don't. See? I prayed and prayed and prayed in the Spirit, and finally, after several minutes, there were others praying with me, finally. And can I just tell you something, as a preacher of the gospel? That will suck the life out of you. It'll just suck the life out of you. You'll leave that place, you'll feel so empty and so drained. Why? Because there's no life in the house. There's no life in the house. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying sometimes if we're not careful, we'll come to the place where we'll just accept the way it is as normal. We'll just settle for churchianity rather than Christianity. Come on, somebody. That's a Facebook quote. That ought to be a good one right there. We'll just settle for churchianity rather than Christianity. Churchianity makes me sick. I know it's got to make God sick. Churchianity, just happy where we're at, not too concerned. We've got a good little church, bless the Lord. We got some nice folk at our church. We've been here a long time. God's blessed us. We got a great little church. Were you concerned about the folks all around your little church that are going to hell? And you're expecting them to have the audacity to walk into your building. You ain't doing nothing to go after them. Come on. People say, "Well, I guess I'm just supposed to be alone. God ain't sent me no husband." Well, if that's what you want to accept, then bless your heart. Let it be single the rest of your days. "Well, I guess I'm never going to have anything." Well, you're probably not, because you just professed it with your mouth. "I'm going to have nothing." Life and death are in the power of the tongue. "Well, I don't reckon I'll ever get married." Well, I assumed that if the Lord wanted to heal me, he would have. Well, I guess I've accepted the fact that I'm just going to be broke. You are, because you just cursed your finances right then. Wait a minute. It's 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things. Somebody say above all things. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Jesus was right. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You get it right in the spirit, and he'll take care of the rest. You get it right in the spirit realm, and he'll take care of the physical realm, the social realm, the financial realm. You get it right in the spiritual realm, and the rest of it will line up. John 10:10 said, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. How come the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, especially the Pentecostal church, don't know what it's like to live life to the full, don't know what it's like to have abundant life? They're just going through the motions, coming in the door on Sunday, leaving the same way they came, and try to get back next Sunday if they don't have nothing better to do. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I got a plan for you. This weeping prophet Jeremiah took a word to the people of God who were carted off some 500 miles away from their homeland, subjected them to a foreign people. Men were emasculated, rights were taken. And Jeremiah the prophet shows up. No wonder they called him the weeping prophet. He shows up with tears running down his face and says, listen, don't you know that I have plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. It's not over with, he said. This is God's will for us. This is God's hope for us. This is God's plan for us. That we be people, that we be somebody. We're children of the King. We're children of the Most High God. We ought to have the best, behave the best, look the best. We ought to act the best, and we ought to serve the best. But a lot of this has to do with us. Somebody say us. You know why? Because Jeremiah, if you keep on reading him, if you move to chapter 29... verse 13, just a couple of verses away from it. Isn't it amazing how we can quote Jeremiah 29:11, but nobody goes around quoting Jeremiah 29:13? Nobody. Because Jeremiah says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And the reason you don't have the hope and the reason you don't have the future is because you haven't sought God with everything that's in you. That's why I'm preaching about revival in this season. That's why I'm preaching about longing for revival, believing for revival, because it's a matter of you and I coming to the place where we are all in this thing with every bit of our heart. That's my reason for the story of the Gospel of John. Just in case you thought I left that man laying by the pool, I have not forgotten him. Here's a man, according to John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, who's camped out near the sheep gate by the pool of Bethesda. And that the norm for those who recline there are needy people. Pastor Joy and I have seen it with our own eyes. They're there the day. This pool is known as a healing pool. And there's still folk laying there today. And those blind folk, those paralytics, and those who are immobile. And verse 2 says it. It says, now there in Jerusalem near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is Bethesda, which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Verse 3, here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. Listen, I want you to notice something. How many of y'all got an NIV in your hand, New International Version? How many of y'all got a King James? You folks who have the NIV, go verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 5. Did you notice that? Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 5. What happened to verse 4? Well, if you got a King James, verse 4 is in there. And verse 4 says this. It says, for time to time an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had.
The NIV doesn't include that verse. Because of attention among scholars, because of attention among studying, and the NIV translator says it's not found in those earlier manuscripts, we're not going to place it there.
All you read about in the NIV is that, you know, those folks were healed. But in the King James Version, it bothers to tell us that there was a catalyst for that. There was an angel from the Lord who would come down and stir up the waters, and those who were sitting around the pool would see the pumps get turned on by God Almighty, and they would say, it's time to get in, and they would race as fast as they could because the first one in got healed. That's what you call faith. They got healed.
Verse 5 says there's a man here who's been an invalid for 38 years. 38 years he's been immobile. 38 years he's laid there. 38 years he's been just declining. And then in verse 6, Jesus poses a question to this man. He's a standout. Everybody else got healed and wandered away, And more people came. But this cat's been laying there for 38 years and he's not healed.
And Jesus walks up to him. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? The emphasis there is on what? I would underline it in my Bible, want. Well, I don't write in my Bible. Well, please get you one you can write in so you can remember stuff. Do you want to get well?
Somebody say, Jesus got an attitude.
He did. He's frustrated with this guy. Interesting, the number 38, I looked into this.
The number 38 carries an unusual meaning. It consists of the number 3, which refers to authority in the Hebrew culture. You see, God's a God. Somebody say, numbers aren't important. Yes, they are. God is a God of numbers. He has a book entitled Numbers. Okay? So numbers are important. I talk to pastors all the time. Well, you know, we're not really concerned about numbers. Lie. You are. You're concerned about numbers.
Number 3 refers to authority. Number 8 in the Hebrew refers to the heart.
So you put that together as something to do about the authority of my heart.
And the number 38 is a reference to slavery. And so the moral of this is that the indication is that this man who's laid by the pool for 38 years was enslaved by his own choices. You're saying, Pastor, you've been doing a whole lot with that mathematics. No, you look down verse 14, you'll see something else. In verse 14, Jesus has already healed this guy. As we fast forward, he's already healed him. But evidently the indication is that he's going to continue the life as he always knew it. Because look at what Jesus says to him. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you're well again. Now stop sinning unless it comes on you worse the next time.
So if you back up, you realize that the man laid at the gate, sheep gate there around the pool of Bethesda. He laid there for 38 years of his own choices. His infirmity was brought on by none other than himself. My question for you is, the stuff that you complain about when you get around people, the stuff that bothers you, the stuff that's always coming out of your mouth that you're sick and tired of, who's responsible for it, you or somebody else?
You know, don't come down and pray. You got to pray for my knees. My knees about to kill me, and you're only 475 pounds. That's all. Don't talk about sugar diabetes, but you're going to a Krispy Kreme and seeing that the light's on. Come on. You can't do all these things. This man who was there for 38 years was there because of his own wrong choices. And there's not anybody in this room that hasn't been guilty of making wrong choices. All of us have. All of us have made wrong choices. And I want you to look at what verse 8 says. Verse 8 is what the Holy Spirit wants to say to some of you today. Some of you have been complaining about things before we read this verse. Some of you have been complaining about things. I'm just sick and tired. I'm so tired. I'm getting so frustrated every time I turn around. And you know what the Holy Spirit says to you? Pick up your mat and walk. You have the power to change this. You have the power to change this. You don't have to, listen, you don't have to wait until 15 people oil you up with a big bottle and holler in the name of Jesus to the top of their lungs. Some of the things that you're going through, you have the power to change on your own. Amen. Jesus looks at the man and says, listen, man, pick up your mat. Here's the thing that I've always been intrigued by this narrative about this man at the pool of Bethesda. Lazy, trifling rascal, in 38 years, he could have rolled into the pool. I mean, come on. I mean, he, 38 years, you've had time to roll into the pool. But here's what he does. He does what so many of us do. He comes back. Jesus asked the man a question. Jesus asked the man a question. He says, listen, do you want to be well? And look at what he says in verse 7. Sir, I've got nobody to help me into the pool when the water's stirred. Big old rascal could have rolled in the pool. I don't have anybody to help me get in. And whenever I try to get in, somebody always jumping in front of me. I think if I was him, I think I'd have put my hind parts right at the edge of that pool. And as soon as I saw the water out of my peripheral vision, I'd have gone right into the bottom of it. But he came up with excuses. And what I'm saying to you in the Holy Spirit this morning is you have what you have because some of you are continually making excuses for yourself. You're making excuses for your son. You're making excuses for your daughter. Some of y'all got kids living with y'all that should have done been gone. Should have done been gone. See? Well, how old is your son? He's 59. Why is he still living with you? He can't find a job. He's smart enough not to find one if you're going to enable him and take care of his sorry tail. He's smarter than you give him credit for. He's just waiting for you to die so he can have what you had. That's all. This is an issue of this man's heart. It's an issue of this man's heart. He had something going on in his choices. And Jesus says, listen, number one, do you want to get well? And then down in verse 14, he says, listen, keep on. You know what got you? The same thing you're doing right now put you there for 38 years. You stop sinning or it's going to get worse and you're never going to get in the pool again. It's right there in front of your eyes, people. Verse 7 and verse 14 are key verses. Human nature is your worst enemy. It's true for you. It's true for me. It's true for everybody in this room. How many of y'all have things that you've been saying that you need to do around your house? I'll tell you, I'm going to do this. I've got to do this. And it never gets done. You know why? Because of human nature. If we can put it off to tomorrow, we'll put it off to tomorrow. I got my own little secrets and they're none of your business, okay? I got things that need to be done around my house that I've been saying I'm going to do and I haven't done it. Why? Because I made the choice not to do it yet. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to shake us and say to us this morning. Some of the circumstances that we're in today are because of us. And the Holy Spirit is saying to us today, pick up your mat. Pick it up. Make the right choice. Move forward. Do the right thing. Say no when you need to say no. Say yes when you need to say yes. But pick up your mat and get moving. We can't continue to do the same things we've always done and expect different results. That's the definition of insanity. Stop making excuses. Pick up your mat. Stop blaming others. Pick up your mat. Stop those habits in the name of Jesus. Pick up your mat. Take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and cast down that spirit. Bring it into obedience unto Christ. That's what Paul said to the church at Corinth in his second letter. Take captive those thoughts. Cast those spirits down. Move forward. Let's stop laying around the pool depressed. Let's stop laying around the pool with lack. Let's stop laying around the pool sick. And let's get into the pool and let God refresh us and renew us and rise up on our feet and fulfill the destiny that God has assigned to us. Listen, a Husky is too small for us not to win for Jesus. 5,000 people in this town. That's it. 22,000 in this county. This area is too small. And if we're not careful, you know, Just Save is closing. Walmart, the old Walmart closed. If we don't do something, if we don't change the course of this community, you know what's going to happen to the rest of the businesses? They're going to close, 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 close. But if you and I would get up off our blessed assurance and start sharing Jesus, we would experience the same thing that they experienced in Brownsville. They started out a revival on Father's Day, and that rascal ran for 5 solid years. New hotels, new businesses, new buildings, new jobs opened, homes were built. Why? Because when God touches the world in revival in those places that He touches it, everybody receives. Everybody receives. That's revival. Revival will knock your water bottle off the stand. Do you want revival? Do you want a Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival to hit your community? Then why do you come to church alone every Sunday? Why don't you bring somebody with you? Why don't you do it the old-fashioned way? Why don't you go by and pick someone up who may have a hard time getting to church? Why don't you invite people? George Barna said, listen, if you will invite somebody, more than likely they would come. But the problem today is everybody in the church is just, you know, well, you know, it's all we can do to get there. You're too busy. You're not concerned about people that are going to hell. I close with this story. Richard, come on to the piano. I could preach for another hour, but I'm going to shut up. I shared this story yesterday in my evangelism class. Tony Campolo was a Baptist preacher. Many, many years ago, he was preaching in an arena where there were 25,000 people listening to him. And he was preaching Jesus in a very powerful manner. He's preaching the Christ, the one who's able to transform, the one who's able to change people. And he was preaching a message that was trying to impact people to move from complacency and mediocrity to an active faith that would get out there and share the gospel. And he said to them, he said, some of your own family. He said, y'all serve the Lord. You come to church. You know, you give your tithe. You help in the nursery or whatever you do. He said, but some of y'all's own family members and your closest friends and neighbors are going to hell in a handbasket, and you don't give a, and he used the D word. And a hush came over that crowd, and people gasped. I can't believe that he said damn in a sermon. They just gasped. And he waited for a moment. And he stepped back up to the microphone. And he said, you see there? Some of you are more upset about my choice of words than you are about your own family members sliding into eternity without God. Amen. And the story is the place erupted in repentance and worship, and people filled that altar.
because God, by His Holy Spirit, got a hold of them. I'm believing God for revival. I'm believing God for revival. I'm believing God, as Greg Windley prayed in the back this morning, I heard come from his lips, God, do such a work in this church, do such a work in this community, that men and women and boys and girls will come into this place saying to the top of their lungs, what must I do to be saved? That's what his prayer was. Can I tell you, God wants to do that? Some things need to change in your life. Maybe you're here this morning, you need a big change. But maybe you're just here and you're a Christian, but you've become complacent, you've become mediocre, and you look at things too casual, and the Holy Spirit is saying to you, listen, ma'am, pick up your mat and get in the waters, because I, the Spirit of God, are troubling them. Think about how much time this week has been spent on talking about statues tumbling and races rioting. And you look on the television and folk are just back and forth. And just when you think it's going to calm down, it's black and white and white and black. And there's, the world is so filled with prejudice. And can I tell you something? The only answer for prejudice is Jesus. You can march until Jesus comes. You can march until Jesus comes. You can parade, you can holler, you can shout, you can put everything you want to on the news until people's lives are radically transformed by the saving power of Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to change. Jesus is the only way that people will change. You know why I'm the pastor that I am today? You know why I'm the person that I am today? Because I am a born-again, spirit-filled child of the living God. I don't care if you're red, black, purple, green, or orange. It doesn't matter to me. I look at you and I see you as a human being created after the image and the likeness of God. And I do not care. I do not care about all this races and rioting and statues and all this stuff. I don't give a flip about that. I'm not going to waste my time listening to it. People ask, what you think about it? I don't think nothing about it. I'm not going to waste my time. Don't bother me with junk like that. I don't have time for it. If you don't know my stance by now, you're crazy. If you don't know my position by now, you're dumb. My position is there's only one race, and that's the human race. That's it. The human race. And yes, there are plenty of white people who think they're better than everybody else. But you know what? They got a devil's hell waiting for them if they don't get their heart right with Jesus Christ. And the same is true on all sides. And it should cause us to weep. Weep. Weep before the altar and say, God, please do something. If my people, come on, if my people. That's what it should cause. Pick up your mat. Pick up your mat and make things different for you and your household. Pick up your mat. Are you here this morning? Anybody here this morning say, Pastor, I just need Jesus. I'm going to get this one behind us first. Anybody at all? Just, Pastor, I need Jesus. I wandered in here this morning. All I know is the Spirit of God is speaking to me, and I need more of Jesus. I need Jesus. Would you please come to the altar? No head bowed, no eye closed, no peeping around, none of that stuff. If you need Jesus, I want you to stand to your feet and come this morning. Come on, don't waste any time. Don't waste any time. Hell is real, and so is heaven. Don't waste any time. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, your heart should be beating right now a little stronger than it normally does. That's because the Spirit of God is convicting you. If that's what's happening to you right now, stand to your feet and come to this altar. Please, please, I beg you. Come, come. If you know it's not right, your account's not settled in the spirit realm, you know it's not right, get here. Get here as quick as you can. Anyone at all? If not, the rest of us, then I guess, are born again Christians. And how are you going to respond to the message that the Holy Spirit has deposited to you this morning. Lord, forgive me. Look, you got to realize I'm the first one who gets the word. Okay? So just don't sit there and think, well, you know, pastor's got all of his T's crossed and all of his I's dotted. That's not true. That's not true. I got to get these words before you get them. And so the Holy Spirit begins to deal with me. My wife said something just a week or 10 days ago about something around our house that we just decided, you know, we keep saying we're going to do that. And she said, you know what? It's stopping now. We're going to take care of this. It could be something small. Pick up your mat. Stand with me, would you? Those of you that would like to, just make your way to the altar. Just stand in his presence for a moment. I'm not going to keep you long. Maybe you just come and stand in his presence and say, Lord, what is it that I do need to change? What is it, God, that I do need to change? Can you show me? What do I need? What mat do I need to pick up? The mat of depression, the mat of lack, the mat of sickness. What mat do I need to pick up? Just move in closely. Just move in closely, and let's just allow the Spirit of God to infuse us. Wow. I like that song, Richard. Go ahead, man. Sing a little bit of that.
And I've been changed.
Come on, think about what you're singing. Come on, just right where you are. Just lift your hands up just a little bit and just hold them there.
Deliver.
And now open your mouth up and just begin to worship
Him.
Come on, just open your mouth up. Just begin to worship Him.
Grace.
And favor. Circle, don't worry about that. God might have a blessing for you. Come on, can you just right now just begin to pray for the people in your circle? Come on, just pray.
Just pray. Go ahead, Greg. Show them what's going on here. Just pray for the people in your circle right now.
Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I decree and declare, oh God, that their best days are ahead of them. God, I decree and declare right now, oh God, that they belong to you. Father, I thank you for the power of a miracle that's coming upon these thy people. Father, I thank you for the strength of God. I thank you for the hand of God that's moving among your people, God. Father, I thank you now that you have made choice of me. I thank you, God, that you've called me to the kingdom for such a time as this. Thank you for strength. Thank you for the anointing of God. Thank you for the favor of God. Uncommon favor is coming upon thy people today. In the name of Jesus, strength for the journey, strength for the journey, strength for the journey. My God, fresh oil is coming upon this thy people. We decree and declare fresh fire even now in the name of Jesus. The freshness of the Holy Ghost, the freshness of the Holy Ghost is coming upon you now. Father, I thank you for a fresh rhema word in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of their troubles. Father, I decree and declare fire come now. Father, I decree and declare faith coming alive now in this woman of God. Faith come alive in the name of Jesus, for you shall have what you say. Open your mouth wide and God said he'll fill it. If you open your mouth wide, God said he will fill it. Father, we open our mouths wide and we believe you. We speak it into the atmosphere. We decree and declare, God, that you're going to do it. No longer will we sit back. No longer, oh God, will we operate in fear. But we're opening up our mouths today and we declare that we're free. We declare that we walk in victory. We declare that we walk in power. We declare that we walk in favor. Our broke days are over, for we belong to God, and we speak it into the atmosphere. For we understand that the power of life and death is in the tongue. That we say a thing, so shall it be established. So we speak the word on it. We speak the word over every dead situation. We speak the word over every broken situation. Today we speak life. We speak life into every dead situation right there. Hallelujah. Father, we open our minds, for we belong to you, God. Father, we want more of you. We want more of you, God. Saturate us with your love. Saturate us with your kindness. Saturate us with your grace. We yield to you. We yield to you, Lord. We yield to you, Lord. We're humble and hungry for you. We're humble and hungry for you. We're broken before you. Oh, da, ba, 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 ba. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Receive it. Receive it. Receive the freshness of the Holy Ghost right there. Receive it. Receive it. Tell God all about it. God, I'll go. God, I'll do it. Send me, Lord. Send me, Lord. Oh, it's my time. God, I feel you calling me. I feel the purging. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit within me, God. Do it in me, Lord. Do it in me, Lord. Fresh fire. A fresh praise of worship. Father, I want to be intimate with you. Let me experience your presence. Let me experience intimacy now. In the name of Jesus. Father, I want to know you. Father, I want to know you intimately. Father, I want to fall in love with you all over again. Father, I want to fall in love with you like when I first met you. Oh, God, I want you. God, I want you now. Come on, talk to your father. Talk to him like he's a father. Talk to him like he's a father. He knows all about it. He knows all about it. He sees the desires of your heart. He sees you. We worship. Oh, there's such a spirit of intimacy Come on, you're there. You're almost there. Intimacy, you're going closer. You're pressing in now. A new level of intimacy is upon you. A new level of intimacy. A new level of purpose. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that ever happened. I'm falling in love all over with Jesus. I'm casting all my cares upon Him. I give it all to Him. I don't understand everything, but God, I give it to you. No longer will I question. No longer will I question. But God, I give it to you. Oh, randa la 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 boko shata baka. Anda la 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 boshanda na makaya. I sense the glory. I sense the glory right where you're standing. Let that hand go and lift that hand to heaven. Develop an intimacy. Make it your priority that you're going to be intimate with the Father. I'm going to be intimate with the Father. I'm developing an intimacy with the Father. No matter what comes my life, no matter what the distractions, I'm going to speak the word only. I'm developing a new level of intimacy. And in my intimacy, I'm developing a new level of worship. I will worship the Father. I want all that God has for me. I want all that God has for me. Oh, da ba 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 ba. Oh.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just exalt you right now, God. We thank you for your people, Lord. We thank you for your church. We thank you for those who are called out, Lord, out of the darkness and into the light of the gospel. Father, we pray that you would speak to us this week, God, as we leave this place today, that you would incline our ears to your message today. Pick up your mat, that we would not be satisfied with complacency and laziness and half-heartedness, God, but that you would allow us to pick up the mat of depression, pick up the mat of satisfaction, pick up the mat of complacency, and walk forward in the destiny, God, that you have designed for us. Walk forward with expectancy, God, knowing that you desire for us to preach the gospel, share the gospel, spread the gospel. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. We thank you, God, for a spirit of revival, God, that will continue to help us to march forward, God, to march forward with all that you have for us, God. We bless the churches in this city, God. I pray for Ahoskie Christian Center, God. I pray for Soul Saving Station, God. I pray for Higher Ground Church, God. I pray, God, that you would move with power and authority in these places of worship, God. I pray for the Baptist Church, God, the Methodist Church. I pray, God, for Millennium Pentecostal Holiness Church, God. I pray for New Vision in Murfreesboro, God. By your Spirit, Lord, would you fan the flames of revival in this region, God? Let us be known as a people of prayer, a people of revival, a people of miracles, God. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. All ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Sing it one more time, Richard. Hallelujah.